I feel like it's probably one of the better campaigns we've had in a while in our sport. I know I'm excited to go to battle week in and week out with these guys, and obviously a group of guys that have a ton of respect for. You know, I know their past and their journeys, and, you know, from Priest's stories and what he's done in short track racing to Matt Tiff being teammates with him last year, and just having a chance to really, like I said, just race week in week against those guys and know that, you know, we have incredible opportunities in front of us, and we all look forward to taking advantage of it. You know, for me, I think that, you know, being able to carry that title, it goes so far considering the people who have won that award in the past. And, you know, in years past, I think I've fallen one spot short in each class. You know, I think maybe once to William Byron maybe or Eric Jones. I can't remember exactly who it was, but in the other series. But in the grand scheme of things, I've always had to compete against good people for the Rookie of the Year deal. And I'm looking forward to doing the same this year. And that's a huge, huge honor to carry that. So hopefully when it's all said and done, we're the guys carrying it.
Did you surprise yourself at all with the qualifying effort?
Absolutely. you know, we never got to do a full qualifying run, you know, on practice day there. So I didn't know what to expect. And Luke Lambert, I said, man, what are we going to run? He says, honestly, dude, if we could have made that lap, I'd have a lot better idea for you. But I don't know either. So when I saw my teammate Austin Dillon go top of the board there early on, and he ran a good bit faster than what we expected our cars to run. It gave me some confidence that we could maybe lock into the second round and had a shot at that, let alone to qualify fifth. So we were incredibly proud because there's so much effort that goes into building these race cars and so much in off season, you know, between ECR, Chevrolet, and RCR. You know, it's our biggest event. You want to come down here and have speed. And I know it's early in the week by the time you qualify, but it's something that gets the momentum rolling for the week.
How do you think that straight line speed is going to translate to running in the draft?
It's something that's to be determined for me. You know, I've never drove these cars really in a big, big pack. So I think Luke's leadership, you know, running this team as a crew chief, I think he's given me the race ability in our race cars once we do get in the pack and from qualifying the race adjustments. And, you know, when we run the 150s, it's going to be something to where we have more grip. The racetrack's going to be a little cooler, so it may not show up. Your handling issues may not show up quite as quick. But once the sun comes out on Sunday, you're going to have to have your stuff driving good. So he's been beating that in my head pretty early on in the off season to make sure we're prepared to know what we need for the draft, and I feel like we're ready.
Daniel, RCR really likes that you're from Indianapolis, that you drive in the 80s, and they like that storyline and that element. How much of that really drives you, motivates you, would you carry with you?
You know, for me, it's definitely a huge sense of pride to even be from Indianapolis, North Carolina, and to obviously know the guy before me that came from the same area and what he did in our sport, but also just a sense of pride throughout our race shop, I feel like, when they realize where I've come from, where I've been, how I've gotten to this point. It kind of puts a little pep in everybody's step, you know, with kind of the, quote, American dream of guys getting here. So I'm pumped to be able to carry the flag for Indianapolis, North Carolina, and know that, you know, we have a shot to build something incredible here. And, you know, as a kid growing up being a Dale Earnhardt fan and pulling for the Black 3 and RCR, it was every kid's dream to be able, man, if you could ever be in that situation, but never thought it was possible to come to fruition. And here we are. I'm looking forward to taking advantage of it.
Did your situation mirror the Earnhardts at all, and that you had to kind of fight and claw to get to your dream?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only his story, but, you know, just the average hardworking American looking for a shot to do anything positive in life. You know, it's one of those things that all you can ask for is opportunity, and I've been given a great one here.
Did you want the 8?
I was all about the 8. You know, to never know what number. I've driven so many different car numbers over my time that I never got stuck on certain numbers, but all I really cared about was having a race car to drive. But whenever Richard made it an option for me to have that as availability to, do you want to do it or not, I thought, man, why would we not? We got to carry it. It's cool to see the support we've had rally behind us, and look forward to kind of doing our own thing with it as time goes.
Any jitters going with all this, with all the history of that, and you know, coming into this 500?
I think it's just more emotions itself. You know, I think, you know, being able to take part in the biggest stage of the sport you've worked your whole life to be a part of, is there should be some kind of emotion or jitters or however you want to look at it. But I think just getting on track for the first time earlier in the week for practice kind of able to let me breathe and kind of just enjoy that part of it. Like I said, I know I'll be emotional all the way through the week, but I'm just happy to have a shot, man. Just cool to be here, be sitting here on this stage and have an opportunity.
I was going to say, you talked all offseason about the anticipation for not just this year, but this moment. When is this moment, being here for the 500, going to set in?
Probably, I always tell everybody, probably the national anthem. Something about that feel, right? You have tons of people around you, but you see your group that have kind of stood behind you the whole time between family and friends, car owners. You got a lot of people that will be here for that moment. And to be able to share that with them, right? That's like, hey, you know, this we got to this point together. And it's because of those folks that I've had the opportunity to be where I'm at today. So as we go through those motions, it'll probably really, really set in. But the good thing is we strap in the race cars quickly after that so we can get back down to business. I believe we can. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think so. And I've constantly, you know, applied myself to what you got to do and what it takes to be successful at any level. And to be here is just another stone that I got to jump on and try to make the most of it.
Rattle off the list. How many people? Who's going to be here?
Oh, my gosh. Rattle off the list. I don't know. I can tell you this. There's so many people that we've had to use many other lists to get people on. So it's a great problem to have, and I'm just pumped for everybody's support.
Daniel, since this is your first full season in Cup, do you feel like the new regulations, the rules package makes you more on a level playing field?
I definitely don't think it hurts. A lot of these guys, which especially the veterans of the Cup level, have been through so many different rules packages and changes throughout the sport before I ever got here. So they're used to change, and they can adapt very well. That's why they're the best in the world at what they do, but it also is something where, you know, it is so different that it's going to be new for a lot of people, and I think there's no better time than now for myself and the rest of the rookie class to be transitioning into our roles because, you know, from the little bit of testing that some of us have done, it drives similar to some, maybe even the truck series stuff that we did a couple years ago, and because of that, I think it does. It levels the playing field and it really challenges our race teams. You know, they're the ones that are really going to have to trust us as rookie drivers to elevate the programming and give our programs what they need to build race cars the way they need to be built and the input to do that. And if we can either lead them one way or lead them the other, and that's going to change the outlook of the season. And I think it's cool, that element, because so much is going to fall back on the drivers and teams working together. Yeah, thank you. You too, thank you.
How do you keep from pushing too hard because you feel like, I mean, you look around here, Joey's a year older than you. He's already got a championship, been racing forever. Kyle and Ricky have been in the series and have won races. You're 27 and you're just getting to that level where you get a chance. How do you go, I've got to be good and I've got to be good fast?
You know, for me, I've always believed that timing was everything. And for whatever reason, my time was not to get to this point until now. I can't, you know, rewrite history backwards or do nothing like that. So I just got to do my thing when I get this opportunity. And that's what I've tried to pride myself off of. You know, those guys had incredible breaks throughout their careers, no different than what I have. It just came at different times. And the end goal was to get here no matter what it took. And that's why I'm sitting here.
How do you feel you experience-wise, even though they've got more experience in Cup, just from a racing standpoint, do you feel on an even level with those guys?
You know, obviously, it's hard to beat experience, especially in these cars and these racetracks we go to. But on the flip side of that, you know, there's so many different variables and things I had to overcome throughout short track racing and doing things the way I had to do it that have prepared me maybe in even a little different light compared to those guys. You know, they've had to live this style of life for so many years, year in and year out, where this side of it's a little new to me, but the grind of what it takes to get to the racetrack is a side that I live. So I think, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do it. Just the way I had to do it was a little different than what they did probably. And I'm thankful for that because I think those experiences have made me tougher to be ready for these days.
Everybody kind of wants to paint you as this blue-collar, Annapolis native, you know, throwback kind of guy. I mean, is that accurate?
I think it's 100% accurate. You know, I think about, you know, I'm not very good at talking about myself and what I should be portrayed as to people. But, you know, if I was to look at the story, you know, for instance, I pulled for Ryan Preece. I feel like his situation is very similar to mine in the way he's had to go about it and the kind of guy he is, building his own race cars and grinding to get to the racetrack week in and week out, no matter what it takes. And as I look at something like that and I get excited inside for a guy like that, it makes me realize that the story that's being told about myself is the true story of how I've done it as well. And hopefully it's something that our sport can get behind between the two of us and all of our younger guys that are coming up that have had to do it the way we have. I think it's, you know, there's nothing forged. You just want to, or forced. You want to make sure that it's all natural. And I know the way I've done it is the only way I could do it. And you call it what you want, but it got me here.
Where word patience is very important in relay tracks. Sometimes with the, is it the car and also just the driver instinct. How difficult is it to capitalize on patience at tracks like this where one mistake could cause like a huge crash?
My Super Speedway record would say it's very hard to capitalize on it, but you know, I laugh at that because there's so many variables that are out of your control. But you know, maybe earlier in my Super Speedway career, I looked at it as, man, it's a crapshoot. It's hard to put yourself in position to have success. But as you really diagnose the situations, you know, the best guys at this style of racing always find their way to the front at some point. And then you have your certain things timing wise that you get caught up in situations, but they have a methodical way of being patient and making the right moves at the right time to put themselves in position. And that's something I've tried to do in the past, is just, and especially recently, last year or two, is try to really study those guys. You know, I got to put a ton of effort into my speedway racing mentally myself, because I know it's something that we only do so few times that when you do it, you want to be, when we get to do it, you want to be good at it. So, you know, looking at that side of it, it's going to be a lot of new changing things for me as we get in the draft, you know, for the 150s. But on the flip side of it, it's going to be a new experience I'm looking forward to.
What do you look at as a moment in the Daytona 500, since you haven't raced it as a regular cup driver before, you know, 100% like a full season? What do you look at that's a moment that stands out to you in the Daytona 500, Daniel Hamlin?
I think, you know, personally, just the stage itself, you know, getting ready through driver intros and taking a part of, you know, so many celebrities are here, so many family and friends for all these drivers, and people that have supported them forever, get a chance to be a part of this event. I think that's the personal thing that stands out. And on the racing side of it, I think about as a racetrack, when it transitions usually from that day to afternoon, nightish time, that that's when the real players kind of rise up and you know who you got to race at that point. So on the pure, you know, racing side of it, I think that's one thing that stands out that we got to be ready for.
Do you have a Daytona 500 that you remember a moment in that you watched?
I remember when Earnhardt won the 500. I remember staying at my dad's buddy's house. They had a little racing pool going, and the guy who pulled Dale Earnhardt's number for the racing pool, like I say, he's a buddy of my father, and he was not an Earnhardt fan. And I think he was a Rusty fan. And he was so mad that he pulled Dale Earnhardt, and obviously Earnhardt goes on and wins the race. And I remember that moment was very comical, to say the least. And I was just a little kid at that point, but for some reason that stands out. I don't think it really does. You know, I feel like there's probably a couple of those moments where I'm sure people have heard me say I could have done something a little different here, a little different there, but for the most part, I feel like I kind of put my best foot forward and gave it the best effort I had and just fell short for whatever reason. You know, I talked about timing earlier, and for whatever reason, the timing hasn't worked out to put us in that spot. You know, my wife and I joked back and forth last year about, I wonder how many races, you know, I've taken the lead or been leading by a large margin with 15, 20 to go, and then had a random caution or debris or something happened that put us where we had to come down pit road, or had a restart and I didn't maybe do my job to a full effect. But, you know, those are the things that just didn't work out. And, you know, I think having success at every level, getting, you know, to the top three, you know, stages of our sport is what allows me to keep the confidence that when it's meant to be, it'll work out.
Yeah, it's a kind of motivation, you know, being so close.
It is motivation. You know, everybody wants to win races, right? That's why we're here. I know Richard Childress and all of our partners believe in me that I can still do that, and that's why I'm here. I feel like if they didn't truly believe that, then they wouldn't give me the opportunity. So that in itself is motivation, with the fact of not getting it done yet. Good thing is a new day and another shot's down the road.
Are there any chances of doing any Xfinity races?
I'd like to. I don't know. I don't have anything directly pinned in on the schedule, but on the flip side of that, I think you need to be on the racetrack as much as you can, and I just love to race, man. I'd get in anything they let me. Yeah, thank you.
Have you set any, like, goals for this season?
You know, for me, I never really set personal goals as far as, okay, I got to do this by this point or this by this point. It's waking up every day and putting your best foot forward and knowing that when you lay down at night, if you could have done anything any differently or if you couldn't have done anything any differently, then you did your job that day to the full effect. And, you know, the results, as you put that effort in, come with it. And for whatever reason, that's kind of led to where I'm at today. I think that goals themselves can get somebody up or down, however you want to look at it. So just doing the best you can every day.
With RCR being in their 50th year, what would it mean for you to bring Arthur Richard to the 50th anniversary?
Oh my gosh, that's a be really kind of fairy tale-ish, I guess. You know, I think the history that comes with carrying this RCR logo, obviously 50 years is an incredible time, an incredible journey that Richard and Judy Childress have both, you know, committed to our sport. And so to be able to be in the race car for one is truly incredible in itself. And we're here. We got a good shot of anybody, so we're going to try to go down swinging. I think it's fun for us because, you know, we get to talk about new stuff, talk about some of the older stuff that made us all who we are at RCR. All that stuff is part of a culture and a legacy that we've been able to be given history of over time. And it's been cool to hear some of the older stories, some of the guys, you know, at the shop that, you know, maybe show car hauler drivers at this point, hearing them talk about their days back on the pit crew with Earnhardt and guys and making those memories. That's been fun for us, you know, myself and Austin and all of our drivers to listen to that stuff because it makes us really, really, you know, respect what those guys have done and what those 50 years have meant to our sport. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to carrying the banner. And I think being able to keep us all going, it's a bit of a distraction for a good thing to let us all have fun with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say more than you already do. I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's just cool to reminisce on. But on the flip side of it, you know, we do the best we can week in and week out, and that's what it's all about. And to have something like this wants to make you elevate to some point. Is that it? Good, man. How are you, Ford? Good? Okay. Gotcha. It'd be huge to see NASCAR go to the fairgrounds. I've told everybody forever, that's probably my favorite racetrack in the country, and definitely without that one, the best short track races in the country. That place has so much history, drivers way before us that have done so much for our sport, and to have a chance to have been successful there in other forms of racing, man, I get goosebumps thinking about it. That'd be such a cool show to see. You know, I feel like the tracks and the owners and drivers and everybody can put all the effort they want into it, but at the end of the day, people got to show up. And if people show up, then there's no reason that it won't be successful. And that's the only thing I can urge for is a support from the fans and the fan base in itself to be supportive of the decision. You know, a lot of myself, I've rallied for this. I know a lot of other people in the industry have rallied for a change like this. And if we're granted our wish, then we got to own up to our part. And our part's showing up, buying tickets, having beer in the grandstands, getting hot dogs, and enjoying the show. And no matter which direction it goes, it's going to be a cool event if we can make it happen. So all I can do is urge everybody to come out and support it, and it'll be successful. Yeah, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? I had a chance to spend some time in Nashville downtown, and that'd be a cool time. I think just change in general, right? We're in the middle of a constantly evolving time of our sport, and to see everybody embracing that and bringing up a situation like that, it'd be cool just to be a part of. I'm on board for change, and it's cool to see it happening in front of us. Unbelievable environment. You know, I think it was 99 games straight sold out or something along those lines. And to be able to stand there and get everybody cranked up on the mic right before the game started, that was something I'll never forget. I've never been to any kind of sporting event with that much intensity and that much excitement. So I remember, you know, we get pulled a lot of different directions throughout the seasons, but that was one that I would gladly raise my hand to go back and participate in because that was a time in my life. Yeah, appreciate it, man. Good seeing you. You too, bud. Good, man. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good to see you, man. You good?
Good to see you, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of go over with us, I guess, some of the preseason goals you set as a rookie year team, and what would be a successful year for you in the Cup Series?
You know, for the race team itself, you know, there's goals and the fact of, you know, we want to make sure we can lock down Snuka Rookie of the Year. We want to give our partners and everybody the best opportunity to have the best performance we can, but I've also told everybody that I've never set, like, hey, I got to do this by this point or this by this point. All that stuff constantly changes over time. And for me, it's always been about putting your best foot forward every day and knowing that if you put that effort in, that when you lay down at night, there's nothing else you could have done any differently to give you any better results. And with that being said, as the weeks go by, if we're in contention, as the dust starts to settle, I think we'll have done ourselves justice and given our partners what they expect out of us, and hopefully that'll lead to success and results along the way. Every single one of them. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a wild show. You know, realistically, you know, we've seen this place be so magical for whatever reason. It makes unbelievable storylines. I look back at our teammate Austin Dillon last year and the way that whole race played out for him to be in the position he was in, you know, that can happen to anybody. And just being here and being a part of the 40 cars is all you can ask for. That gives you equal opportunity, and you got to maneuver when need be and hold out when need be and try to position yourself.
Yeah,